Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Tracy Walton has performed music in New England for 3 decades. He is part of the powerhouse duo Belle of the Fall with Julia Autumn Ford. Their critically acclaimed debut album, Earthbound, was released in April of 2016. After touring through the United States, they've returned to On Deck Sound Studio to record a new album, which will be available in the fall of 2017. So we hope you enjoy our chat with Tracy Walton here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. Tracy Walton, thank you for taking the time to talk to us on Nutmeg Chatter.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
And now I've been a fan of your work for many, many years. I was really excited when you joined forces with Julia Autumn Ford to create Belle of the Fall. But prior to that, you were a significant rocker in your own right. If you don't mind me saying rocker, you performed many different styles of music, but I usually associate your music with a rock style. Would that be a fair assessment?
I think so. That's where it's coming from for sure. There's a lot of different influences, but for me, kind of the main one where I kind of land usually is rock. I come at it from different sides. But
what was the music that influenced you that made you first pick up a guitar?
The first bands were like AC/DC. Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, mostly what my brother listened to, who was about 5 years older than me.
So you had a sibling influence in your music styles before you picked up the guitar?
Yeah, and my sister as well. She's maybe 3 years older, so the two of them had pretty decent record collections that I could dive into. And my brother had a serious stereo system. Back when people had real stereos with amps,
sure.
And it cranked, and I think that's part of it. I tell you, I think that's what's missing these days is everyone listens to it on earbuds, and it's not that great of an experience. Where when you're listening on a Kenwood full stereo system sitting in a beanbag,
it's a very different experience.
Yeah, it makes music exciting, and listening to Zeppelin and those kind of bands with all the pans and different stuff was like, wow, this is amazing.
Now, when you learned guitar, were you a self-taught guitarist or did you take any lessons? I do know that you have taught musicianship. You've taught guitar yourself as a teacher. But did you take any lessons when you were growing up or did you learn through doing?
I took lessons like most Torrington kids of the time at Leo's when he was on Main Street. I only took for a couple, not very long. I wanted an electric guitar. My parents got me an acoustic guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to learn Sabbath and Zeppelin and that stuff, and my teacher was teaching me Cockles and Muscles out of Mel Bay 1. And it wasn't for me. I was just like, this isn't what I'm going for here. I only took lessons for a little bit, and then it was kind of like everyone else. We just kind of swapped and tried to figure it out ourselves amongst friends. And I got, pretty decent, and I didn't really take a lesson again until I switched to upright bass. I took lessons on guitar at first at Leo's for the couple months. I played guitar at first, then I switched to electric bass. And then probably when I was 23 or 2, maybe 20, somewhere in there, I had gone and saw Dave Santoro perform right on Main Street in Torrington. Him and, what was his name? Kovis was the guitar player. And I was just like, wow, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen or heard. And Dave's a monster. He's such a killing player. And it turns out he's probably one of, the great teachers for jazz. And he's now at, Berkeley. And it turns out he's from Torrington. It just so happens to be a Torrington guy. And he tours the world, and is amazing. So I ended up, I saw that, and I was like, well, I got to find a bass. And I found one in Waterbury, just a junk plywood, and I ended up contacting him, and I started to study with him privately. He ended up getting me a scholarship at the Hartford Conservatory.
Oh, that's big. That's great.
Yeah, so I studied there with him. Yeah, and then went on from there. So I kind of like, I reverse engineered it, I guess, or maybe that's not the right, maybe I'm not saying that right. But in other words, I already could play when I went to him, and he kind of put everything together and said, oh, that thing you keep doing, that's a pentatonic scale. That thing you're doing is this. That thing is, that's why you do this. And I was like, oh, okay, I get it. And then from there, we went way above what I was doing, and
oh yeah, excelling the knowledge base, and bringing it to many, many different levels higher than where you had been before.
Yeah.
Now, for the listeners, you now play the stand-up bass in Bell of the Fall, among many other instruments when it's a recording for the album, but for when you perform live with Bell of the Fall, it's a very iconic look of you playing the stand-up bass. And what I'd like to do is to now play just a little bit of some Bell of the Fall, enjoying some of the bass sounds here. Just we're going to listen to a song from Bell of the Fall.
What if today was the greatest day of your life and you threw it away? Can't go back, you can't replay. Carpe diem, seize the day. We all waste so much time. Worrying about things we've done.
That's Bell of the Fall. Tracy Walton, you play the many, many different instruments. How many instruments do you actually play on the new album that you're recording?
Oof. Wow, I'd have to... our working list is right there. So I play upright bass. I play resonator. I play drums, percussion. Play some Wurlitzer piano. I think I'm going to be playing trumpet today. I play mandolin, ukulele, classical guitar. And I'm sure there's more I'm forgetting.
That'll do, I should say. I mean, that is a large number of instruments that you're going to be putting to great use for your new album, which I'm looking forward to. I was a big fan of the Earthbound, which was your first recording, the debut album for Bell of the Fall. I'd like to, in the second portion of our conversation, I'd like to talk about the founding of the Bell of the Fall, the new duo of you and Julie Autumn Ford. So if we could, we're going to take a break. We're going to go out on our break listening to a little bit more of Bell of the Fall here on Nutmeg Chatter.
There's many words and they're all true. And one, I fell in love with you. And some would laugh, we cried and danced. Some worlds had other plans. There's one way we never met. At least it hasn't happened. Evil world where we are friends, but the tension never ends.
How are you to fly to the world that satisfies you? Go there knowing I
Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. We just listened to a little bit more of Bell of the Fall. I'm talking with Tracy Walton. Tracy Walton is part of this musical duo with Julia Autumn Ford. Now, Tracy, how did the duo form? How did Bell of the Fall become the band that it is today?
Julia actually came. I own On Deck Sound Studio, and I'd make records and produce records for other people. Julia came to talk about making her first record. She was shopping studios, and I was actually just saying it yesterday. Imagine that if you chose another studio, like this all would be different right now. She says that, and you can ask her, I suppose, but she says that after the meeting, she knew she'd make a record here. Which was great. And so we made that record. I produced her first record, and then I had shoulder surgery and wasn't playing upright bass I probably hadn't played in a couple of years. I was playing electric still and guitar and doing all that stuff, but the upright, I just really physically couldn't do it. After surgery, I finally started getting back, and I started playing like a minute a day, got it up to 2 minutes, got it up, and took me about 6 months, and I started feeling like, maybe I'm ready to do some gigs. Julia, if you've ever seen our show, you'll notice that she doesn't talk much. She's actually not a big fan of being on stage, really, I guess, or being the center of attention. So part of it was, I said, well, I'm looking to start playing bass again. Why don't I start playing on your gigs? I never run out of things to say.
You have, if you know what I'm saying, you have a commanding presence on stage from a lot of years of experience of being on stage and performing in front of large audiences and also small audiences. You performed for many different venues. And so you are not a stranger to the microphone on stage. That would be a fair assessment.
Yeah, for sure. And I've always felt comfortable. Honestly, I feel more comfortable with a mic in front of me than without one in front of me. Being able to talk in public.
Sure.
And then having a bass in my hand, though, I should say. I don't like talking when I don't have an instrument in my hand. Or I don't even like being on stage when I don't. But so it kind of was a good fit in that, it would get me playing some bass again. Because I was always a straight-ahead jazz guy. I'd never played anything but straight-ahead jazz on an upright bass.
Mm-hmm.
In the rock realm, I always played electric bass or guitar. On a straight-ahead jazz gig, they're usually 3 hours. There's usually guys who are really burning, and, like, you're coming in one, two, three, four, and it's like you got to really be in shape. So to get back in, I was like, this seems like the perfect thing. We ended up doing a tour together as two separate solo artists. I started playing more on her stuff, and it started to really kind of feel good and seem like, man, we have something here. She's super melodic vocally, and it allowed me to be really melodic underneath her with the bass stuff. And then we started singing together and found out, we hadn't really even thought. Going in, originally we had thought I would just be her bass player. It was never a plan of being a duo. Or we'd be a duo, but it would be Julia Autumn Ford, and I was just the bass player. As we started doing it, it became clear that it was more of a duo, and we'd start playing my songs. We started writing songs, and then we started to sing together and realized, wow, there's a really cool thing just that naturally happens when our two timbres join.
Absolutely. And, I was at a concert of yours. It was, I would assume to be a very seminal moment for Bell of the Fall. It was your concert at the Warner's Nancy Maroon Studio. It was an album release party for one of your solo albums, but
yes,
you had invited a number of all-star musicians to come and perform with you. It was it was a fantastic concert regardless. It was really, really wonderful. But Julia did perform with you on that on the stage, and there was clearly a great connection. There was some electricity there that was really generated. If memory serves, it may not have been soon after that you announced Bell of the Fall, but it was close to that point where perhaps the formation had really started to gel as a duo. Would that be fair?
Yeah, that was. The concert was July 18th. I was releasing my moderately unknown record, and we announced Bell of the Fall July 19th. So,
oh, well, there it is. Oh, yeah, it was
Yeah, we had kind of thought of it, you know, and it was like, man, you know, maybe we're gonna do this thing, and it was really clear that night. It was like there was no question after that night. We really became Bell of the Fall July 18th. We just didn't announce it till the 19th.
That makes sense because it was a great concert. You know, it was a packed house there of people just enjoying your music. And I thought that when the two of you were together, there was just a very significant chemistry that you've now honed and refined, and then when you came up with your new album, or with your album Earthbound, it really solidified you two as a group. You did perform many other times in Torrington, which I was able to see. I remember one of your first performances together officially as Bell of the Fall might have been Performance Hub, a concert at Performance Hub, or it could have been one of the first ones in Torrington that I had seen. Where would you place the point where Bell of the Fall, using the Bell of the Fall sound, really crystallized? Was there any particular concert that you would identify it, or is it just a constant evolution?
I think it's more of a constant evolution, but I think it's funny. I think we played South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. It's a kind of a famous festival. And it felt like we really became Bell of the Fall on that tour. It was like, you know, 27 days. I forget how many states, but we did, I think we did close to 30 shows. And we were about that in those days. We played, you know, New Orleans. We played Texas. We played Tennessee and North Carolina and Virginia, and we did, you know, played our way there and back, and we started to really kind of, I think it's funny, I think this new record's a lot different. I don't think our Earthbound really captures what we do or captured what we do. It was still kind of us finding what we were going to do, and we even released a couple solo songs. Many Worlds was one of my songs.
That's right.
Don't Give Up On Me was one of her songs. So there's kind of solo songs on there. And we weren't really sure what the sound was, so we weren't writing towards that yet. I feel like, at least for me now, I'm really writing towards Bell of the Fall. I kind of write all the two-part harmony stuff. Or I write those songs. And we work the harmonies out together. But that part of our sound comes from me, I guess, where she still writes a lot of the epic lead vocal stuff, which is great. It's a totally different thing that we do.
But the harmonies are really a hallmark of Bell of the Fall, and I've seen some music videos where you have done some, you know, covers, like Simon and Garfunkel covers especially, and those always have a huge response because your harmonies are just so wonderful. In fact, what I'd like to do now is I'd like to play just a little bit of some music that focuses on some of the harmonies of Bell of the Fall. So let's listen to Bell of the Fall.
Remember you in pretty songs, the ones that seem to right the wrongs, where worlds exist within a single line. I see you in the picture shows, the ones that leave you wanting more. We're better off, yet somehow less inclined. And I know you and I want you to let it go. On the line, and I won't let you down this time.
books I'll read, the kind that end but never leave, the kind that make you realize you're alive. I smell you in the hint of rain, the kind that washes sins away, the kind that leaves just as it arrives. And I know you.
Nutmeg Chatter. We've been listening to some of Belle of the Fall. We've been talking with Tracy Walton, and one of the beginning points of Belle of the Fall was the fact that Julia Autumn Ford, when she was looking for a recording studio to record her first solo album, she discovered and then went to Tracy Walton's On Deck Sound Studio. Now, On Deck Sound Studio has recorded some of the very popular musicians, especially in the Northwest Connecticut. I mean, they have recorded the albums for, you know, Jay Roberts. You've recorded for the Screaming Eagle Band. You've done for Steve Dunn Band and for Krista Moon, High Adventure, Tuesday Saints, and many, many more. What was the impetus behind On Deck Sound Studio? When did you create it, and what was the idea behind creating it?
I guess it started back in the early 90s. I got my first set of ADATs to record myself at the time. I was in a band called Iron Horse, and we were starting to, you know, record our stuff. Over the years, I realized that if I bought really good gear, it would always kind of hold its value and always be valuable in a studio. And originally, again, it was just kind of a personal project. I was recording some people. I was in Torrington for a while, but it wasn't really a public studio. Probably 4 years ago, I guess, I looked around and said, man, I've got like so much gear here. I'm not that far away from opening a studio. I was actually trying to put it in Torrington. I was trying to put it, the standalone building across from the Venetian, which I still think would be, you know, an amazing spot. But, you know, I tried to get involved with the city. I talked to a bunch of people and no one could really figure it out. And now they have a tax, you know, turbo taxes there, which is great for the arts culture. But anyways, I finally said, you know what, like, this isn't going to happen. I ended up putting an addition off of my house, and then built another live room. And now we have this kind of thing, which worked out great because now I can just walk out of my house into my studio. So that was kind of it. And then finally I put in an alarm system, which I felt like, okay, now I'm ready to kind of go public and
sure,
and have people, you know, come here. So, you know, that was kind of it. I guess, I don't know if it's 3 years ago now, and I'm not even sure, but we started really branching out and getting many more clients in. Right now I'm producing Jeff Presh's new record, Cosmo Sunshine's new record, Nathaniel Hintz has a new record coming out that we're working on. We just did a single for Emily Bordonero yesterday. And we're working on the Belle of the Fall record, clearly.
So there's a lot. Now, what is the difference between producing an album for Belle of the Fall or Tracy Walton, prior to that, a Tracy Walton or Julia Autumn Ford solo project, and someone else's, some other performer, perhaps with a different musical style? What's it like to produce their records?
Well, for me at least, I try to get inside their heads and figure out what they're trying to say as an artist and what they are trying to get across. So it's a little bit different of a skill set than trying to put my own vision out there, or mine and Julia's vision, which generally is pretty close. When it comes to Belle of the Fall, we have kind of a clear vision of what we're trying to do. So it's yeah, it's just different. It's more serving the client and getting a good album out of them, as opposed to being the complete creative force and having the complete say of, or at least the half of the say, of what our album is going to sound like.
And of course, Bell of the Falls, new album, which will be coming out in 2017. People will be able to hear it by the end, at least the end of the fall of 2017. It's being recorded in the On Deck Sound Studio. Could you tell me, just as we conclude our conversation, is there a driving force or a message within your new album, or how would you describe your new album to new Bell of the Fall fans?
It's a much more cohesive album, I think. There's like kind of a texture and a vibe to it that's pretty ethereal, maybe, or hard to explain, I guess. But there's definitely an aesthetic throughout the album that we're going for. We've thrown off probably 5 songs that didn't make it because they didn't really fit what we were going for.
Those would be considered the B-sides.
They may appear. So one of them, I think, is going to become a concept album.
Wow.
Where it's its own thing. It just didn't fit the vibe of this record. So I think it has an aesthetic, and I think lyrically, there's a lot of message to it. Yeah, I guess you just have to hear it.
Absolutely. Well, we will be hearing it. We're looking forward to the new Bell of the Falls new album, which will be coming out. I assume there will be a concert that will be part of an album release party. And if that's the case, we would certainly be covering it and looking forward to it. For those who want to find out more information about Bell of the Fall, where would they look to?
Just bellofthefall.com. Just make sure it's the beauty bell, BELLE of thefall.com. It's the website that has links to all the social media. We do have an Instagram. We have a Facebook, Twitter. We're on there every so often, not much, but, and our YouTube, we're looking to really expand on our YouTube with this album. We're really going to kind of go hard there.
That would make sense, because your YouTubes, when you do share your videos, especially of YouTube performing, it really generates a huge response. And so I look forward to more videos of Bell of the Fall. Tracy, I want to thank you for allowing us to talk to you here on Nutmeg Chatter.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us. Appreciate everything you do for the local arts community. So
it's my pleasure. We're going to go out listening to just a little bit more of Bell of the Fall.
I think I see the end. He's coming around the bend. Some days I don't mind if I go. I thought you held my hand, but these days I can't pretend. We are never far from alone. We are never far.
Nutmeg Chatter is a production of WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by Bell of the Fall. So we thank Bell of the Fall, Tracy Walton, and Julie Autumn Ford for that. Our theme music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube Royalty Free Music. So we thank them for that.
Please stay tuned. We have a special episode coming up right away.
Hope you enjoyed our chat.